Hey there! Welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People. My name is Sean, and next to me is my beautiful wife, Carrie Jones.
Sean is a former cop and now his own businessman, and this writing podcast is about writing.
What?
And life. And being quirky. We start with a random thought recorded somewhere in our house, oftentimes in our bedroom. And then we do a writing tip and a dog tip. Why do we talk about writing? Because I'm a writer.
Because Carrie Jones is an international and New York Times best-selling author. She knows a whole heck of a lot about writing.
But not about life.
Well, we do stumble through life quite a bit, and you'll experience that if you keep listening.
Let's start with a random thought.
All right, let's go, baby.
Hey, it's random thought and bedtime.
Hey,
why
baby.
Why are you laughing? Why are you
just
laughing?
Just the way you said, hey, honey.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey. So, my question to you, Sean Kelly, is what is the most scared you've ever been in your life? But it can't be when you watched a relative die.
I've never watched a relative die.
You're so lucky. So lucky. So, all right.
And I don't know. I've been thinking about that. I don't know.
How do you not know? You've never been scared. Have you ever been scared?
I've never been like shaking in my boots, poop my pants, or pee my pants scared. No.
Didn't you once do like a house check and like you thought there was a rocking chair rocking or something in an attic?
No, not a rocking chair, but I did feel definitely that attic. It was living quarters for like servants. It was a super old house. And I felt like there was definitely a presence there, but I wasn't scared.
Well, how about when you were a little kid? Were you ever, like, in the woods and you were scared or anything?
Oh, my God, I'm sure. Probably all the time.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I'll tell you.
Actually, wait. I can. One time, I remember being super scared. I was an adult, and I was, like, a teenager at least. And I was out in the woods hunting with my uncle, and I was, like, in the swamp.
Like, in Florida?
It was heavily treed. But it was also water, like, up to my knees. And that's all you could see was trees and water. It was like, no, really. And I was just guessing at how, you know, my direction that I was walking back was correct. And it ended up being correct, but...
So you're scared because you're lost?
There was a lot. I wasn't lost, but I was afraid I might be. Yeah. There was a lot of self-doubt there, but... That's a different kind of fear, I think, than... what you're talking about.
Oh, no. I think that's a big fear. I got lost once in the woods behind my house, and I ended up on, like, a subdivision road and after 3 hours and, like, followed that road out and eventually followed the highway and got back to my house, like, and got in trouble for being late.
Yeah, of course.
Plus, I wasn't allowed to walk on the highway because I would get kidnapped. But the most scared I think I ever was, other than like watching, like when my dad had a heart attack, was like,
you said that's not allowed.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Other than, geez Louise,
no,
cool your jets, baby. Don't get your panties in a wad.
I'm not.
All right, but the most scared I think I've ever been in a weird way was like, we had a seance when I was a little kid.
Yeah,
I think we were in 7th grade, and it was all the theater camp kids came over to my house, and we were doing ghost writing, which is when the ghost is supposed to talk to you through
the
writing.
What's it called?
Like the pencil, like
automatic
regular
writing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You
don't pay
attention, but you write stuff.
I got you.
And the pencil caught fire.
What?
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty remarkable.
And we all freaked out.
I wouldn't be surprised that you did.
And a guy named Steven, who is now like an indie director, thought he was possessed and put on this old rock necklace.
Yeah.
And we all ran outside, and the living room drapes were closed on our picture window, and they hadn't been before.
Mm.
And we all ran screaming down the front yard, and we took that necklace and threw it into the woods.
That's funny.
And, I never found the necklace again. And it was a gift from my Aunt Maxine.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, man. I wonder if he remembers it. But that was pretty scary.
Yeah. But sounds like it.
Mostly because I was really worried we were going to, like, burn down the house. Because the
pencil
was on fire.
Somebody must have been writing at a high rate of speed to heat that pencil up, make it catch fire.
It was me.
It was you, huh?
I was holding a pencil when it caught fire.
Oh, you do write pretty fast.
I do, man. That's why I'm a writer now. But that was scary. I used that in one of my books, actually. After Obsession.
I can't really I know I had scary things as a kid. I was trying to discount childhood things because they're more drawing to me, but I can't really remember any anyways. I know they exist. Like, I just know it, but I can't think of any.
That's not helpful.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I've been in a lot of situations that the normal person would find extremely frightening, and I was cautious, but not scared. Not, like, scared to death. I don't know why.
Oh, you know another scary time for me? Since what? You're not giving any good stories and you're just being too cool and stuff.
I'm not.
For
words. I'm not.
One time when Emily was a little baby, I've told you the story, but we were hiking down by the Union River.
Yeah.
And we went down the embankment to get to the river and, like, two feral dogs came.
Oh, that would be scary.
And they cornered us.
That could be
and
very scary.
I was terrified because I did not want. They like just looked. These poor dogs. They looked totally starved.
Right.
And, like, they're really aggressive, and they were blocking our way back up. Emily was like two or something, and she was in my little bean backpack. Product placement. And I had to, like, alpha dog glare these dogs down.
Yeah.
It was really crazy and hard.
I can see that being very scary, especially with a young child.
Yeah.
With you.
And I guess the Boston Marathon was kind of scary when I was there in the bomber, but not as scary as the feral dogs, honestly.
Well, there was no child involved.
And I found a lot of dead bodies in my life, especially as a child. But none of that was super scary.
No.
You know what was scary?
What was scary?
One time in high school, one of our friends brought, like, some satanic Bible or something.
Yeah.
And wanted to do a seance. And then Sean and I, not you, Sean, but my friend Sean, we saw a ghost. And we saw the same ghost, but we both went into different places to tell everybody about it.
Yeah.
To make sure we weren't talking about this, like, you know, just so that we didn't corrupt.
Yeah.
And it was the same exact person.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
And it was so dark and terrible and freaky. And then we all freaked out so hard that we took the book and threw it into the Merrimack River.
Yeah, I understand.
That was scary. And then we came back home and had a big sleepover. And that was my high school experience.
That's funny.
I wonder if Sean remembers that. I should ask him because we're Facebook friends.
You should.
I know.
Actually.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
So those are some of my scary times.
Those are great stories, huh?
I wish you had some.
I don't.
I like to hear people's scary stories.
Well, maybe some people will send us some scary stories.
I can only hope.
Writing tip of the pod.
This week's podcast is not scary stories and Sean's lack thereof. It is actually, Carrie's had too many seances in her young life. No.
Is that the title?
No, it's How to Become a Successful Writer, the key writing advice to keep in your brain.
That title sounds kind of scary. It can be a daunting task.
So, if you're the kind of writer who wants clicks and readers, this is the podcast for you. Yes, a helpful podcast from us weirdos. I know, right? But here's the first one.
Get rid of the crap. But no, I'm still here. So. Oh. Not all the crap.
Maybe you're not crap.
Seriously, get rid of the words, the repetition, the flowery language that exists just to be flowery, but has nothing to do with your message, your character, or your plot. Don't have people nod and say yes at the same time. One is enough. Don't have people think to themselves. We know they are thinking to themselves.
That's what thinking is.
Unnecessary words are blah.
Blah.
Nobody wants to be blah. Nobody wants to read blah either. Except maybe that one fourth grade teacher. And maybe your honors freshman English teacher, the one who yelled about James Joyce a lot.
I'm talking about Mr. Duffy right there.
Are you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, man. Did you have a teacher like that?
Oh, Jane. Any English teacher I had that would have yelled about authors such as James Joyce, I would have just gone right over my head anyways. I wouldn't have noticed. I would have been reading another book inside of my book. That's how I rolled.
Yeah.
Or a magazine.
I can totally see that. Was it porn?
I don't think I ever brought porn into school.
Was it Guns and
Ammo?
Like
hunting magazines or four-wheeling magazines or whatever.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's my little swamp boy.
Yeah. All right,
so number two, let your title be a promise and a gift. That's right. Give your reader something. Your title is a promise and a gift. Like this podcast, probably if we didn't talk about how to become a successful writer, but that was the title and all we talked about were scary stories.
Yeah.
Probably would be more fun. But that would be a bad title, right? But you have to think to yourself, why would anybody care about reading this or listening to this when you're making a title for this podcast? The answer to that would be that people care because they want the tools to be a better writer. So figure out why you're right, or they just want to laugh at how stupid we are.
They want to listen to the smart author and her stupid husband.
No, the smart husband and the stupid author.
No way.
We're both self-deprecating.
Self-deprecating?
Yeah, man. We're supposed to be like, we know it all. Here, come listen to us. Like, oh. That's how you sell.
Yeah, you're right.
But that's not who we are.
Those people are boring, but people love them to death.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Sheep.
I like the real. My.
All right, so going back, figure out why you're writing and what you're writing and give that to the reader. And that goes for books, too. Even if your answer is just, I want to provide readers an escape, that answer works. So when you're communicating via book, podcast, blog post, newspaper article, whatevs, think about what your title is and what you want to give to the reader.
That's awesome.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Like, you could do that just regular old conversation, too, couldn't you?
Yes, you could. But that requires a lot of thinking and not being in the moment.
You know, this may be perhaps the most important one right here.
I know.
Actually write your story. Don't just talk about writing. Write. Don't stare at the blank page. Write.
You can always revise. Revision is good, but you can't revise a blank document or a page full of nothing.
That's right. And I took a pause there.
Uh-oh.
Specifically for that reason. Getting the words on the page, you can always go back and tune them up.
That's
one
right.
Or 100 times, whatever it takes. But you'll never get anywhere if you don't start writing.
That's right. I once had a reporter who was the best guy, right? You know who I'm talking about.
Sure.
He's dead now. We have not had a seance to try to conjure him, but he would be so into that, I just realized.
Just too big, probably, though. He was a big man, right?
No.
Oh.
He was little.
We must be talking about different people then. Oh, yeah, this guy wasn't a writer.
All right, so I once had a reporter who was the best guy. He was my best friend, but Sean doesn't remember him very well. And I loved him with all my heart, but he would have writer's block all the way up to our deadline every time. And I'm a chill human usually, and I hate being demanding or naggy, but I would, like, go into his office every deadline and implore him to write. And he'd be like, my lead isn't perfect. And I'd be like, dude, done matters. Perfect doesn't matter. And I would write like 10 stories to his one story over and over again. And the thing is, people liked my stories better. Even though I was just like blurred it all out on the page.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is like that quest for perfection, it makes us crazy and it keeps us from getting things done. And then we lose the vitality of our words and our thought and our communication, you know?
Uh-huh,
like,
I agree.
His need for being perfect kept him from being perfect, but also kept him from writing.
Which was the most important.
It was really
detail.
Hard. I loved him so much.
And I know who you're talking about.
I loved him so much. Okay, so
don't try to be someone else.
That's our last tip.
Is it?
Yeah, man.
You should write like you. Not like Anne Lamott or the million other lovelies out there. Not like Tanisha Coates, who was brilliant.
You said their name wrong. But
yeah, I know. You've got it. Like, it looks like a dictionary right there.
I phonetically spelled
Why
it out
don't
for
you.
So that you can say
Ta-Nehisi.
There you go. Better.
How's that how it says?
Yeah, man.
Is it Coates?
Yes.
Ta-Nehisi Coates.
There you go.
My apologies.
Who's
Ta-Nehisi
brilliant,
Coates.
Brilliant, brilliant human and writer. But the point is,
you, the person I'm speaking to right now have a unique experience and a unique voice. Use that in your stories. Be brave. Be absolutely who you are. Don't be shy about it. Shout your voice into the world unabashedly. You know Carrie wrote all that right there. Dog tip for life. Well, Sparty didn't actually tell me this one. I have learned this one from Sparty.
Our dog.
Just by watching him. Sparty is our chubby black lab.
Mix.
Mix, yes.
Rescue.
If you're not familiar. Anyways.
He looks like Martha, the dog in the children's
movie. He looks just different color, but same build.
Yeah.
Sparty's honed just right to perfection.
Yes.
Obviously, he doesn't write. But he treats. He quests for treats. So, it's like when any human gets within 10 feet of the pantry door, he jumps off the couch and he comes over and stares at you.
It's his big exercise for the day.
Because he knows that if he just lays on the couch and thinks about treats and mulls over what the next treat might taste like, he'll never get a treat if he doesn't get up and go to the door. Except on Sundays when I make pancakes and I make them a big pancake to split the two dogs. I usually deliver it to them.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You don't give me a pancake on Sundays.
You never say you want a pancake.
I didn't.
Well, I haven't asked you today because yesterday was pancake day. Yeah. But every time I ask if you want a pancake, you say no.
I've known it. They always make me feel bad.
Yeah. I don't have anything super special to put in them right now, so I can't dress them up. But the point is, you'll never write a book if you don't write a word on the page.
Right. You can't wait for treats to come to you, right? That's what you're saying. Even though Sean will bring you a treat sometimes.
And I bring you treats every morning. I bring you coffee.
He's such a good boy.
I take your water in a can away and actually get you a glass of ice for it.
He makes me fancy.
Fancy? Oh, yeah.
Because I like water in the can, man. I don't need no fancy stuff.
But Sparty takes it even a step further into today's podcast
topic. Yeah, so.
He does not use any fluffy words.
No, he doesn't.
No. Once he's writing, he keeps it to a minimum, and you give him your treat. He doesn't even as much say thank you as he's back on the couch.
No.
Choop. Oh, you're right. He walks over. He takes the treat to the dog bed.
Yes, and eats it there.
Eats it there. And either falls asleep in that spot or goes back. You know, he doesn't come and wag his tail and lick your hand as a thank you.
He can no fluffy
words. No fluffy.
Yeah.
He
like stares at you. He goes into a perfect sit with like very erect posture.
Every word in his count has a meaning.
It does.
There's no fluff.
No fluff. Be like Sparty.
Whereas Gabby,
she's all fluff.
Man, a reader would have to take a year to get through one of her books.
Yeah, our dog Gabby, she'd be like postmodernist. Like,
I don't know enough about writing to even try to describe what she'd be like as an author.
Squirrel. Wind. UPS man.
Extra bark.
Whoa! That's her, man. And she even barks for attention. She'll just be like,
oh my god, you can't even leave her alone downstairs. If everybody's upstairs, same monotone, same everything. Just a long, steady stream of slow barks.
It's so ridiculous.
She is ridiculous.
They're always like, go to sleep, Gabby. Yeah. Go to sleep. She's a great Pyrenees rescue. She had a hard life, that poor big white fluffy dog. But she's living her best life now, Bart.
Is there a term for them that starts with anything other than great?
Pier?
She's a mediocre Pyrenees.
Oh!
But she does a fantastic job as a great Pyrenees in keeping this family and household safe.
Yeah.
At least in her mind. So, thank you very much for listening.
If you want to like or subscribe or anything like that, just check out Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the podcast. And we are everywhere. We are folks who found us this time, right? For the tips that go with the podcast, check out carriejonesbooks.blog. Right, Boo?
That's right, baby. I'm sorry you know all this stuff because you're like the tech guru. You do everything.
I do everything. Yeah. But you can tell us about the music that everyone has heard.
The music that we've clipped and shortened in this podcast is awesome and is made available through the Creative Commons license. There's a link to that license and the artist's website in the blog.
And then the podcast notes.
And the artist is Broke for Free. And the song is my favorite summer spliff.
Does that mean pot?
Yeah, that's a joke.
I didn't even know that.
It might mean something else too, but a spliff is a joint.
I wonder if that's what they meant.
Oh, well, we'll have to look it up, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Wow. All right, thanks for listening. That's it, man.
All right.
If you want to support our Patreon, Carrie Jones Books, we have Twitter, and we have Facebook, and we have Instagram, and soon we're going to be on TikTok.
What?
I know, I'm terrified.
Whoa, we'll have to enlist the aid of the 12-year-old.
We definitely need the aid of the 12-year-old.